now. How's it going, John? How have you enjoyed these blowouts?
Ooh, I mean, the last two, you talk about taking a U-turn from each other. I believe that they're the two, like, you've never had back-to-back playoff games where one side, where the run differential between the winners and the winners being opposite sides is as great as the last two nights. So it's been weird. I was surprised by last night, to be perfectly honest with you. The night before didn't catch me off guard. Last night surprised me.
Well, the night before, we had Dan Shulman on yesterday, and we were talking to him about calling games like that, and he joked that you actually threw to him to call the game. But
he heard it
when he was going into the studio. But yeah, man, what is it like when it's playoff baseball, you're excited, you've got this entire day in front of you, and then you're like, oh, great, I'm signing up for 4 hours of watching bad relief pitchers and a meaningless baseball game?
Yeah, so, I mean, the game the other night was you just kind of know what the deal is, and I don't mind that.
Okay.
You know, this is probably going to surprise you as an answer. I'm honestly more bothered at times by, I don't know whether you guys watched the game last night or were paying a lot of attention, but the bottom of the sixth and the top of the seventh, so that's one full inning. It took an hour and 9 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, there's just foul ball after foul ball. I mean, they only in the top of the seventh, they only sent seven guys to the plate. It's just the pace and the foul balls. It just kind of underlines, wow, this is the – I mean, I'm somebody that loves it, and this is the type of thing that's going to chase people away because there's just nothing happening. Like, you can't have a half inning where one run scores – and a team's up for 32 minutes. It just between Will Smith and the, you know, pitching very slowly and the foul balls. As far as the other night, you know, you just know that you're in for a grind. So you're going to kind of, you're going to bring up topics. You're going to talk, you know, sort of broader topics, big picture. And there's space to go. But in, you know, last night's instance, that's where the game broke open. So you've got to stay focused on the game, but they're doing it at such a slow pace. They've got to, you know, really start looking at some things because, look, here's my thing that I kept pointing out in terms of, you know, the sport. You can't have the three things happening at once, and the three things are this. The games are getting longer. The amount of time between pitches is getting longer. And the amount of time between the ball being put in play is getting longer. If you want to have one of those three things, it's okay. But, like, if the lack of action and the slow pace took place in a time window of, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes, 2.5 hours, then maybe that'd be one thing. But, you know, in 2017, it was the first year there were more foul balls than balls in play. So there's just a lot of things going on in the sport that sort of trend in the wrong direction. And, you know, there haven't been competitive games the last two nights. But beyond that, you know, the stuff that's happening on the field, it's not compelling for long stretches. For me, one full inning taking, 70 minutes, basically, it's too long.
It is, Boog. And this is what's scary is because, like, the three of us, we all love baseball. Like, JD and
we watched
these games. And you love baseball, too. And I want to talk about the other stuff. But now that we're here, it's like we come on every day and we want to talk about the storylines and we want to talk about Carlos Correa and we want to talk about Clayton Kershaw and all that stuff. And we do get to it, but it just seems like every day we have to do this thing. And even tonight, like, I made a joke about little Timmy in Atlanta wanting to see his Braves advance to the World Series. He's going to have to stay up until 1 o'clock tonight. Like,
that's right.
What do we do? We have to do something dramatic with this sport because
games.
Even if all three of us, people who love this sport and have watched it our entire lives, are at this point, like, imagine the people who are not us, who are just fringe or basic sports fans.
I think that I understand for little Timmy in Atlanta, and I'm not completely unsympathetic, but I do think that what's happening inside the game, if what's inside is so darn slow and nothing's happening when it does happen, that's a greater problem than Timmy have to stay up till 1 o'clock. Like, you got, it's got to be, if you're going to make us stay up that long, you got to put something in the middle of it. So it's, that's what I'm saying. The three things, like, they can't all be happening at once. So no, I'm with you. I wish, it is a problem. And look, I'm a nerd. I'm an analytics guy. We are partially here because of analytics, because, you know, on a number of different fronts. But look, starting pitchers are asked to go as hard as they can for about 100 pitches and then beat it. And then they weaponize the bullpens and bring guys in. And that's an, you know, analytical philosophy. I mean, there are outliers to that, but that's a pretty standard idea. And then as well, between scouting reports and these guys looking at their cards and all that stuff, they think they have some of the answers. So instead of, you know, 25 years ago where I get a good slider, I'm not sure whether this guy hits sliders, but he can't hit my slider, we'll go with the slider, as opposed to, you know, in 2-1 counts on Wednesdays, he doesn't hit the two-seam fastball that really well, and I throw my two-seam fastball 2.5% of the time. I think that matches up with a pretty good pitch here. You know what? I'm going to step off and think about this again. Like, that's one of the problems that we have, and I think that if you at least move this thing along, you cut down, hey, you got to do your homework before the game. Like, Uncle, I'm looking at these cards and all this stuff in the middle of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it's something that we've looked at with basketball too, and it gets talked about a lot with baseball, which is the idea of, man, in the pursuit of winning, the pursuit of victory with all the stuff with analytics, we've actually hurt these entertainment products. There's been greater damage done because the games are not as aesthetically pleasing. And it's different with basketball because at least you're right. Like, things are happening in the middle and you get to see LeBron James put a triple-double.
That's
baseball,
right.
You know, last night I texted Ben. When I'm watching the Astros and I was watching the Rays game, I think the Rays scored all three of their runs on solo home runs. And it was just like, you know, until the eighth inning, it felt like nothing happened. That I just sat there for 3 hours and watched nothing. And other than reliever I've never heard of versus reliever I've never heard of, like, you know, for 12 to 20 pitches to the next guy, to the next change. And I'm like, I'm not having fun. And this is what it's all for. And I love close playoff baseball games. Like, that's, again, same thing with Ben. When a game is close and it's tight and there's not a lot of runs, like, I don't need runs for it to be exciting. But I need guys on base in spots where it feels like, oh, okay, well, you need to make a pitch here. Like, this has to matter. And it didn't feel that way until the eighth inning last night. And I don't know how to reconcile that. That they've got to figure out a way to just, I don't know if it's eliminating the shift. I don't know exactly what it is. But, man, you can't keep having this. Like, you're going to drive away people like me.
Yeah, it's not eliminating the shift, I'll tell you that. It's not. Like, so one of the issues is, and it's not actually the solo home runs either. It's that, so because here's the other part analytically, guys. Remember this, hitting is harder than it's ever been. In the big leagues this year, they hit 243, I think, 43 or 48. But it was the lowest since 1968 when they lowered the mound. So hitting is down. Scoring is not down. This is the most efficient way to score. You're not watching less offense. You're watching less hitting. There's a difference. And I don't think anybody ever leaves the park saying, you know, we saw too many home runs. The problem is these guys, we are watching the greatest collection of athletes the sport has ever seen. And we don't get to see them do anything because the ball's never in play. These guys pitch and throw harder than they've ever thrown in their life. And they throw fewer fastballs than ever. And so it's so hard to get a hit. I mean, like, banning the shift and to listen to some of these old school guys talk about just hit it the other way. These guys have so much trouble making contact, and you're trying to say you want them to aim it too? Yeah. Aim it the other way? Get out of here. Now, the one thing I will say, and this is out of my depth, but I went to a Ranger game. I hadn't been to a hockey game in a while. I grew up a big Flyers fan. I had a really good Tim Kerr reference you guys would appreciate on the air the other night when Turner kicked that one through Darno's legs intentionally. Anyway, I went to a Ranger game, and I hadn't been to a live hockey game in a few years. And I was just astounded by it just moves. The puck's never out of play. I mean, there were these – I mean, from when I grew up, and it was going into the stands and stoppage and all that. I mean, the NHL has made humongous strides as it relates to the pucks on the ice and in play. And we don't have 9 million faceoffs, and the puck is in play, and you are out of there in 2.5 hours. So whatever you want to say in terms of the NHL, like, that's a big change from what it was. I know it's probably been a while, but the NHL's done a good job with that. I was stunned by how much the puck is in play and how quick everything moved.
Yeah, this is our biggest thing that we talk about all the time, is like the commitment that you're asking from people too, just with the time.
And absolutely. That, you
know, people now have every single thing at their disposal, whether it's their phones just being able to go to Instagram and screw around, or watch Netflix for the night, or fire on your Amazon Prime. Just that the world of content has changed so much that the idea that you're going to commit. Like, last night, I watched all of the baseball. Like, I had it on the entire night, and it was like it was like I watched a marathon where I was like, how much time has passed? It was like, is this the same day? Like, how much have we've been here forever? It feels like I've been here for a really long time. So yeah, I think the commitment is really, really tough.
Yeah, it definitely is. But what at least these playoffs have over the NHL and what the NBA has done such a good job of capitalizing on is personalities and storylines. And we're getting one. And I know it's not the series you're calling, but obviously you're aware of the Astros story and the Carlos Correa villainy that he is. I don't know if he's embraced it, but for me, he's doing a good job of playing the black hat. Like, is this, if we're looking at positives out of this baseball postseason, is it that the Astros was an ugly and gross story, but it has people picking sides and has people feeling something about that team?
I don't know whether I'm going positive on it. I don't think the one thing that I constantly point out, and people don't want to hear it, but it's just the way I'm wired. Most people can't get their head around this idea with the Astros. Are you ready? Deep breath. All of us, all three of us. You ready? Deep breath. The Astros are and were great, and they cheated. Ooh. They didn't get great because they cheated. They had their position players. That's right. That's right. But their position players are monsters. When you sit there and look at what, like, look at this Dodger lineup, whatever you want to say. This lineup is phenomenal. Well, guess what? Michael Brantley'd start for him. Alex Bregman would start for him. Jose Altuve would start for him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, their lineup, like, their grouping of offensive players, they're studs. They're great, and they cheated. And I'm not sure everybody quite gets it. Like, this team was really great. And this happened. They didn't cheat and become great, like, out of nowhere. And I think that people get confused about that.
Yeah, not me. I don't get confused about that or the Barry Bonds thing, because Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer and then started cheating, and he was even better. But, yeah.
It's the thing I say. If Barry Bonds walked in my hotel room right now, if you ask me right now who's the best hitter that I've ever seen, I'd say Barry Bonds. And if he walked in with a notarized piece of paper that said, I took steroids, I wouldn't change my answer.
No, me neither. Talking to John Chombi, ESPN. So let's get back to the series you are calling, the NLCS.
Yes.
And we got to get your Kershaw take, because we do this every year on our show, because, it's fun to have things that make no sense in a sports where everything's supposed to make sense with analytics, and that's the deal with Clayton Kershaw. Sorry, he's a playoff choker, and you don't have to use those exact words, but he got outdueled by Bryce freaking Wilson yesterday.
Yeah. So, it's funny. I'm literally getting a text from Dan Levitard right now saying, you have to come on and argue Kershaw with Stugatz right now. So, I'm serious. My thing on Kershaw, the problem with this, and again, so I get to be sort of level-headed guy, but I understand why people view it that way. He's got a career ERA that's basically in 170, almost 180 innings. He's got a career playoff ERA that's about 2 runs higher than his career ERA. Now, that said, the problem with continuing this conversation is this isn't prime Clayton Kershaw. Like, this is the guy on the decline. It's not on the decline and he stinks, but we're not, this isn't like LeBron or Jordan in his prime and he, you know, can, like, at this point, we're not, we're arguing something that's past the actual subject. This isn't him anymore. I mean, the other problem is, if whatever counter argument you want to make, like, you weren't calling me up to ask me, hey, has Kershaw figured it out when he went 8 shutout against the Brewers? You know, so it's one of those deals where it's challenging at this point when he's 32 years old. The one other thing that I would say is, you know, back to the thing that we don't like, but look, whatever you want to say, just from a basic level, last night's the perfect example of why guys aren't allowed to see hitters 3 times in a game.
Yep.
You don't let them see a hitter 3 times in a game. 2 times through the order, get out. And that's what should have been done last night. He certainly shouldn't have been allowed to face Ozuna.
No, that was nuts. And, yeah, a guy that was clearly flagging at that point and was coming off the back saying, yeah, Dave Roberts didn't exactly put him in
okay.
a great spot.
No, that's now the last one because this is our other hot take. How many World Series do the Dodgers have if Dave Roberts is just any other manager that's ever existed in baseball?
I think probably none. It's random. Guys, let's pump the brakes on that. And this isn't fair because I did this series. Fellas, like last year, they played the Nationals.
Yeah.
Okay? It was Game 5. The Nats are down 3-0 in the 5th with 2 guys on. 7 and 8 get on in the batting order. Dave Martinez lets Strasburg hit. Like, do you know that, like, the swing and win probability? They're down because he's doing them, man, I got to cover innings. And it's like, yeah. No, you're losing and going to lose. You let him hit.
That.
Yeah. And they won.
Yeah.
Won. To sit there and try, you know, like to try and put it on Dave Roberts, like I ain't with it. I mean, I understand that there's you know pieces and things here and there, but nah, man, I'm not that. I mean, I watched it last year. Like, let's think about that. Down 3-0.
Yes.
Let's not Eddie.
That's what I'll concede. Not any. I still think they have one if they have a different manager. Like I just, it's every year with this now with Dave Roberts. Like I don't understand how he's still employed.
Hang on a second. So yeah. For two, they've lost the World Series winner 2 of the last 4, or the World Series winner the last 4 years. In 2 of the times, their season came down to 1 game. Like when your season comes down to 1 game, like that's just flip a coin, random.
But that's what I'm saying, that it comes down to 1 game, that the decisions that he's made, the poor ones, have cost him World Series. Like, that's just it. Is that I'm like, oh, yeah, if you get blown out, that it isn't your fault. But you have all this talent. You've come this close year over year over year. And every single time, you can rely on an offseason where people are talking about Dave Roberts and his decision-making. Like,
well, let me ask you this. If you think that's the case, then I think that sort of the flaw in your argument, and I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but I vaguely know the answer. How many times has the team with the best record in baseball won the World Series over the course of the last 25 years?
Oh, no idea.
How many times? I would say, you know what my guess would be? In the last 25 years, I would bet you the team with the best record in baseball has won the World Series under 5 times.